weeks before it's resolved. Trying to figure out what the issue is.
Aaron, if you do a roll call.
Dr. Quillen?
Here.
Mr. Flickers?
Here.
Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Cacamo?
Here.
Dr. Cetron? Mr. Neff?
Here.
Mr. Pepe? Mrs. Murray?
Here.
Mr. Colangelo?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Drew? Mr. McGoldrick?
Here.
Mr. Liana?
If we could all rise, face the flag for a silent prayer and a pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting in the borough hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. First item on the agenda, and the only item on the agenda this evening, is PB18-06, Block 142, Lot 5, 17 Avenue D, Denholtz Custom Homes, application for preliminary and final subdivision with variances as may be required. Mr. Stibe?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is a continuation hearing. The matter was carried. The new date was announced at the last planning board meeting, and the applicant has also done a supplemental notice as well, both the mailing and publication of the decision, which is in order. The board continues to have jurisdiction.
Thank you, Mr. Stibe. We left off the last meeting, having gotten through the questions. We are now at the statements and comments portion of this application. I am going to go all the way back to 8:29. You might have signed up tonight, but if you were on the list prior to them, please stand up and make your comments. And we will go from there. Shelley Kennedy. Mr. Fisher.
Sir, if you'd raise your right hand and be sworn, please. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth? And your name and address.
Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue.
For the record, I've attended every single Denholtz meeting, including the very first presentation made to the Borough Council in February of 2018. Not even the members on this planning board have heard the complete array of meetings involving the McConnell property proposals as I and probably just a handful of other residents have. This project has had four different designs since its inception. In the workshop in February 2018, the project rollout included 21 homes, 20 dock houses, 10 docks out into the Sandy Hook Bay, a small parking lot, and a lot of public open space with a boardwalk. The project required many variances and waivers. The second design moved the dock houses and docks, left the boardwalk intact. It increased the amount of public open space, and the parking for the handful of cars for the beach access remained, but it still required variances and waivers. The third design moved the sewage lift station out of the flood zone up to Avenue B. It retained the boardwalk in the public open space, but removed the parking lot, yet it still required variances and waivers. The current design reduced the number of homes from 21 to 16. It moved the pumping station halfway back down the hill, away from Avenue B, yet just outside the flood zone. The street went from a loop to a cul-de-sac, and the boardwalk is now gone, as is all of the public open space. As a result of the reconfiguration of the lot sizes and setbacks to the Denholtz team, this is now a clean application They claim that no variances or waivers are required. Denholz Company Principals, CEO Stephen Denholz, who has attended most of these meetings and is here tonight, is quoted often in the local news. In December of 2017, in the Real Estate New Jersey magazine article by Joshua Berg, Mr. Denholz stated that we, meaning Denholz, go where the opportunities are. The water is an incredible attraction. Hundreds of Atlantic Highlands residents and others who have attended these meetings couldn't agree with you more, Mr. Denholz. On the other hand, in the same Real Estate New Jersey article, Denholz Company President, Mr. Stephen Cassidy, stated, I tend to look at more things that are square boxes that we can rent or sell to people. In the Asbury Park Press article by Jerry Carino in August of last year, Mr. Denholz explained about the McConnell property. We, meaning Denholz, are giving the public what they are asking for, a 100-foot wide walkway area and a 10-foot wide boardwalk. The Two River Times on September 5th, an article by Chris Rotolo, Mr. Denholz drove home the idea that we, meaning Denholz, aren't destroying the waterfront. We're adding public domain with a significant amount of beautiful, usable waterfront property. In two of these articles, Mr. Denholz shared that he couldn't understand why there was this level of pushback. The McConnell waterfront 7-acre tract could certainly be developed into a beautiful property. That all depends on which side of the public open space versus development debate you're on, Mr. Denholz. After all, the public would love to have open space at the McConnell tract. The water certainly is an incredible attraction. The final design of this project removes all public open space, as you promised to us, Mr. Denholz. The Atlantic Highlands family has been deemed not welcome to visit and enjoy the last scenic, significant waterfront property in our borough. 6 or 7 borough meetings ago, borough council meetings ago, Mr. Sonichmel told the mayor and the borough council members, borough residents all, obviously, and all part of the Atlantic Highlands family as well. He asked them all, point blank, it's public record, are you all in favor of preserving public open space in the borough? All 6 council members said yes. Our mayor, however, chose to abstain from answering Mr. Sonichmel's question. As I said, it's all on them. I'm positive that if I hold this board here tonight, whether or not all of you are in favor of preserving open public space in the borough, either Mr. Stodd or Mr. Colangelo would suggest to you all not to answer me. But maybe I'm wrong. So I'll ask all those on the board, are you in favor of preserving public open space in the borough of Atlantic Commons?
And Mr. Fisher, you are correct. I will ask the board not answer that question. It's a common section for the public.
Okay. And isn't it significant that we never really got a good answer to Mrs. McCann's question from the last meeting? Asked at the Denholz team as to who, specifically on the Atlantic Highlands Borough Administration, indicated to them that maintaining the public access to this property would be too costly, resulting in the Denholz team removing any and all public open space areas from the project. A convenient omission from the Denholz team. On to a different subject. Although I had asked certain questions regarding the current environmental status of the property a few meetings back, I really just wasn't comfortable with the responses that I was given. Glossed over opinion by Mr. Kennedy that basically there's nothing down there that we need to worry about. At the end of January this year, I filed an open request, OPR 2019-00016. To have access to whatever specific environmental information that was supplied to all of you sitting on the board as part of the Denholz application packet for the McConnell property. Glenn Collins and clerk, Glenn Collins' open request 00116 was satisfied the borough clerk on time with 3 documents, 2 addressed to Mr. Art McConnell or McConnell Realty. The third was addressed to the NJDEP, the Department of Environmental Protection. Since this information was supplied to me, I have to assume that all of you on the board received this information. The first was a 14-page letter from two different environmental firms, Earth Systems, dated August 14, 2017, and Brownfield Science and Technology, dated August 9th of 2018, referencing soil contamination at the site. In that document, licensed state remediation professional, known as an LSRP, Mr. Donald Griston-Smith, signed off on the DEP response action outcome, or REO, for areas of concern, numbers 1 through 35 on the property, for the soil contamination part of the remediation. Even though the LSRP, Mr. Griston-Smith, signed off on its validity, the NJDEP can negate the REO at any time additional contamination may be found on the property. So currently, an expert has attested to the NJDEP that all is well, supposedly, with the soil at the site. But should they find any additional contamination through mechanical disturbance of the property, excavations, for instance, further remediation could be deemed necessary. It should be noted here that no soil has been removed from the site. The on-site contamination is being remediated through natural attenuation. One of the DEP forms entitled Response Action Outcome Form in Section B, Scope of Response Action Outcome, question number 2 asks, areas of concern, AOC number 36 is checked. LNLPL area as an area of concern by the LSRP. I stated earlier that the LSRP signed off on areas number 1 through 35 as meeting the NJDEP criteria. LNLPL is defined as a light, non-aqueous liquid, a groundwater contaminant not soluble in water, and will float on the water table. Question 5 on the same form, are any outstanding AOCs or areas of concern associated with this case where an REO has not been filed? The answer was yes. On a second OPR document sent to me, I assume that's in your project packet, a 16-page letter from the DEP for the groundwater remedial action permit, effective September 2nd of 2017. RAP number 17000 at the site. It was sent to Mr. Arthur McConnell, instructing him to continue retaining a licensed state remediation professional involved as a requirement with continued groundwater monitoring at the site. The letter was signed by Mr. William Hose, Deputy Director of the NJDEP Remediation Review Element. The third OPR document that I received, and I must assume that all of you have, must have recently been sent to you to supplement the McConnell Tract application packet, as it was dated October 18th of 2018. I'm sure all the board members will remember this document as it is 683 pages long. It is the Groundwater Remedial Action Protectiveness / Biennial Certification Report, along with the associated DEP forms, issued by Brownfield Science and Technology from their Mid-Atlantic region in Cochranville, Pennsylvania. It was signed by Nora Pierce Nimmerichter, a geologist for BSTI, and the same LSRP, Mr. Griston-Smith, as well as Mr. McConnell, and it was sent via certified mail to the DEP Bureau of Case Assignment. It was also CC'd to the Atlantic Islands Borough Clerk. The monitoring well sample results in the document were taken in September of last year, and the analysis data was certified well after these special application hearing meetings started in July of last year. A question for the planning board chairman. At 683 pages, I'm sure the members would have remembered handling this document. It was supplied to me, it was dated October 18th. Have you and all members of the board received this document and read through its contents?
We have not read through the 600, but we have received a summary of such.
Okay, thank you very much. The document outlines the mandate for continuation of monitoring of the groundwater contaminant through natural attenuation. It lists and maps the location of monitoring wells, as well as the map as mapping the areas of concern. It specifies the testing methods, testing frequency, reporting mandates, and how the independent testing labs must analyze the well samples. And it also contains literally hundreds of pages of sample analysis data and result summaries. The term natural attenuation has been mentioned before. For those that may not know what that means, it is defined by the EPA as a variety of physical, chemical, or biological processes that under favorable conditions act without human intervention to reduce the mass, toxicity, mobility, volume, or concentration of contaminants in soil or groundwater. So basically, leave these hazardous substances alone, and sooner or later they will go away. But is the groundwater on this property subject to twice daily immediate tidal influence considered being favorable conditions? The NJDEP remedial action protected this certification form. On there are some interesting comments. In section G, type of groundwater remediation, monitoring, natural attenuation is checked. Has the groundwater sampling been conducted at the site since the CEA was established or the last submittal of groundwater remedial action protected this biennial certification form, whichever is more recent? Yes, is checked. Do the results of the groundwater sampling demonstrate that the contaminant concentrations have decreased to or below the applicable groundwater quality standards for two consecutive sampling events? The answer, no, is checked. Do the results of the groundwater sampling indicate that there is a decreasing trend of contaminant concentrations in the groundwater? The answer, no, is checked. If the answer no is checked, is the groundwater plume considered stable? The answer checked was yes. In section J, are volatile organic compounds included in the CEA, the classification exception areas? I'm sorry, if are volatile organic compounds included in the CEA? The answer checked was yes. Based on the most recent data available, do any of the contaminants in the CEA exceed the current groundwater screening levels in the NJDEP's vapor intrusion technical guidance document? The answer checked was yes. Was it necessary to reevaluate the fate and transport of the groundwater contaminant plume or the contaminants with regard to vapor intrusion? The answer checked was no. Were there any changes in the property use that increased the risk of vapor intrusion? The answer checked was no. Did you investigate the vapor intrusion pathway? The answer checked was no. So benzene vapor intrusion pathway from monitoring well number 2 was not evaluated specifically